Welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. I'm Josh. We got Luke and Adam here, like usual. And it's February, so it's a new day, and it's a new month, and it's a little cold outside still. But tomorrow is Groundhog's Day, so sometimes, you know, we make those predictions. Do you guys like Groundhog's Day?
Is it Groundhog's?
It's Groundhog.
Or Groundhog.
Oh, man, I'm saying it wrong. Groundhog Day. Wow.
Groundhog Day.
I need to correct myself.
Because if it was Groundhog's, are we talking like possessive, like they own the day? It's apostrophe S. Or are we talking just in general, it's all the Groundhog's?
Groundhog Day.
It was called
Groundhog. It was also called Groundhog Day. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, I admit, I did it wrong.
Which is a great movie. Which is a great movie.
It is.
So good.
It is a good
movie. You know how long they say that he was stuck in that loop?
Mm-mm.
So if I remember right, the writer says it's like something like 1,000 years or something like that. And so that's
kinda,
how he was.
Kind of like a whole, you know, like a day for one man is like 1,000 days for God or something like that.
Yeah. That so, in his mind, it was like 1,000 years, something like that.
Wow.
Wow.
That is crazy.
So creative and fun. So prediction for Groundhog Day. What is, what's your prediction? More winter or less?
I don't know. I don't know
what. No, don't care.
I don't know what it actually means. I just know I want it to be warmer because the cold weather makes me grumpy and angry, and those are two things I don't want to be.
Yeah, I'm just glad the sun's out again.
The sun is nice.
Yes.
Yeah,
it is nice.
I can deal with cold if the sun's out, but whenever it's like cold and wet and gray,
terrible.
It's just that's rough.
All right, so prediction time. Another prediction. Tomorrow is also on, in addition to Groundhog Day, it's Winter Blast. So Luke,
yeah.
You ready? What's your prediction for Winter Blast? What are you most excited about? What are you predicting God's going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know that I can predict what God's going to do, but what he's done in the past with events like this is just show up and do some incredible work in the lives of students. And so I'm hopeful that the environment that we're putting on is going to give him the opportunity to do the same thing. And I'm excited about all of it, man. We'll be in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, talking about living life against the grain, by not copying the customs and behaviors of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we're going to use the story of Daniel to talk through really great examples of that. So
yeah, excellent.
Going to be really good. So appreciate those of you who prayed over the weekend.
Yeah. As you listen, it's Monday or Tuesday or sometime in the week. And Winter Blast was Friday and Saturday. And then we had church Sunday. So on Sunday, we had another prediction on the connection card. We asked what the Super Bowl prediction was. It's the San Francisco 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So we've done this before, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good game for about 3.5 quarters.
It was a great game.
Well, it was a bad game for 3.5 quarters from our perspective.
No, because at the end you can always go, that's
okay.
Yeah. So prediction for that, give me your score. What's your prediction? Because that's what we asked on the card.
Yeah, I've got the Chiefs. Of course, I'm a fan, so I've got to go with the Chiefs with as much confidence as I can muster up, considering it's the Super Bowl, so two best teams playing against each other. And I think it's going to be Chiefs 24 and 49ers 17. 24-17. Not 23-19 like in Monsters, Inc. or something.
Right.
But 24-17 to the Chiefs. I think our defense steps up in the second half. And we stop them from the scores that they need to tie us up.
Yeah, I'll go Chiefs mostly because of Patrick Mahomes, and I think we are able to go back to back. First team to do it in 20 years. Score, I'll say something probably around the lines of 27-13. Am I guess?
27-13.
Mm-hmm.
What's
55-3.
55-3. What's the spread right now? Because the Chiefs are still dogs, right?
1.5.
1.5.
Yeah.
It opened, I think, at 3.5.
Or
even like 2.
Yeah, I think it was 2.
2.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard as if I was a neutral fan, it would be hard to bet against Mahomes because he just shows up. He walks on the field expecting to win.
Yeah.
Not hoping, but expecting.
I mean, throughout his playoff career, his potentially worst games were in the Super Bowl.
His worst half was in the Cincinnati
game.
Yeah.
And then he's really good everywhere else.
Yeah.
But you could make the case that he plays worse in the Super Bowl than in all the divisionals and AFC championships and stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. But I'm a fan. I got to go 24-21.
24-21 to the Niners.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Adam, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I was talking to your son about this last night and to a few people. Just so the first time that this happened back in 2019, Niners, Chiefs. I'm Chiefs fan in Georgia, wearing Chiefs stuff out in public all the time. And what I got all the time was, dude, yeah, Chiefs, let's go. That's so awesome. We hope you guys win. We're pulling for them.
Yeah.
This time around, it is completely different. I'll wear the Chiefs stuff out in public going into the Super Bowl, and I'm getting dirty looks and aggressive trash talk. I hope you guys lose, man. I'm so tired of this and all that sort of stuff. And even last night in the team room, we did a poll before youth group, and they were trashing on my Chiefs and hoping that I was going to be a miserable person on Monday, February 12th after the Super Bowl. So,
Well, don't hate the player, hate the game.
That's right.
Well, what gets on my nerves? Okay, we'll just go through this tangent real quick. Is most people can't really trash talk very well, and so the only thing that they resort to is saying, "Oh, the Chiefs suck."
Yeah,
it's like, well, you don't have to like us or want us to win, but we don't suck,
right?
We just don't. The Patriots never did when they were going through all these times, but nobody liked them. So I don't know. It's different.
Yep,
it's fun though.
It's good to be the villain.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another prediction. You are going to die. So,
oh, fun.
There we go.
Welcome to the podcast. Yeah.
Do you want to go ahead and put numbers on my life?
Isn't there a website where you can, like, when am I going to die or something like that? Type it in.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Something weird like that. So, actually, it's not really even a prediction. That's just a guarantee. We will die someday. And that's why we started a brand new series, Living Life Backward. And that's kind of where we started Sunday. You know, we spoke about Solomon. This Old Testament king, son of David, who had it all. He was rich, he was wise, and he helped compose a book, Ecclesiastes. And so Adam kind of set us up with why we're doing this series for 4 weeks.
Yeah, no, it's just a one of our rhythms that we like to do is we kind of like to balance out, you know, topical sermon series with more focus in a single book series. And so, you know, just coming out of the Habits series, which is very topical, very practical, just moving into an Old Testament book. And Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about life and death, work, meaning, and all those things. And so just trying to bring in the whole counsel of Scripture and allow that to guide us for a few weeks here.
Excellent. Solomon was a man who he had it all. Like, he wasn't just rich. He was so rich. I looked up how rich he was, and of course, there's not really an exact way to know.
Right.
But a lot of the lists were saying he was like a trillionaire, like a couple trillion dollars.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, he had a yearly tribute of like...
It's like 1.1 billion.
Billions. I mean...
Depending on the price of gold.
Yeah, depending on the price of gold. Just if that's true, he was 2.1 trillionaire. If that is true, in fact... then that means the top 10 richest people in the world put together are only 1.4, so they still are less than Solomon today. So just crazy perspective to think about that. Luke, what stuck out to you from the message as you think about this?
Yeah, I got to pull up the message because I got distracted by that little nod you gave to a website I've never heard of. So I am currently taking the When Will I Die quiz. And I was expecting to get an answer right away, but then there's like...
It didn't say February 12th, did it?
No, I hope not. I don't know. So I started this quiz, and there's a lot of questions in it. So we'll just get through it periodically and see.
Okay.
See by the end of it.
Maybe by the end of the podcast. Sure.
No, but on Sunday, just looking forward to that. Looking at this sermon, I think what sticks out is just the, I don't know if this is the right word or wrong word, but just the exposure of the things that we put our hope in that always actually fail and disappoint us.
Right.
And we may have never put it to words like Solomon does here in Ecclesiastes, but we've all felt it at different times, you know, pursuing some sort of education, something, but then being disappointed, pursuing some sort of accolade and getting it, but then feeling disappointed or all these things we pursue and they just kind of, at the end of the day don't really matter all that much. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, sometimes kind of a bad place to be, to put your hope into those things. And then when those things don't give you what you want, your whole world kind of comes crashing down around you. And so I really appreciate what Solomon is getting at, what this series is getting at, is that there's just a better way than to chase after the wind, all of the meaningless stuff. And so excited about this this series as we kind of jump in.
Yeah. So do you have the sermon still pulled up there?
Yeah, I do.
So why don't you, why don't you scoot down there to Ecclesiastes 1:16-17. This actually comes later in the sermon, but I want to read it just at the front end here because it kind of does sum up stuff. One thing Adam did on Sunday was read a lot of scripture out of chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. So we're not going to do all of that today. You can do that on your own time as well.
Yeah.
But here's just a few verses, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17.
Yeah, it's written, "I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me," which were two. "I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind."
Yeah, chasing the wind. Adam, enlighten us. Chasing the wind. What is that Hebrew word, and what does it kind of mean?
I don't know what the Hebrew word is, but it is just, it is a...
You said it in the sermon.
Chasing the wind is
hebel,
not...
Hebel, right? Hebel?
Hebel is the meaningless word, so I don't know if that is actually the same Hebrew.
Well, yeah, so the vapor, the smoke,
yeah,
the meaningless.
So I don't know if it ended up... It might have been ruach.
Bad question there, but yeah. Yes, that's what we're getting at. What is? Explain that word to us.
Yeah, hebel is the one that's translated either vanity or meaningless, and it is just this idea of it's a vapor, it's a puff of smoke, it's just something that is here, then it's gone, and so that is hebel, hebel, yeah. However it ends up being pronounced in Hebrew.
Depends on how you translate it, if it's a B or a V, but
correct.
Same word.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's what this idea.
Yeah, and I think you gave an illustration on stage, right?
Yeah, It's, you know, you light a candle and you blow the candle out, and you can kind of see that little bit of smoke, vapor kind of thing. It's just like there for a second, but it's not something that you can grab, put in your pocket, you know, save it for later. You know, you could even like capture it in a jar, I'd imagine, but even then it's going to eventually.
So here's what I find interesting about smoke or vapor.
Mm-hmm.
The more you try to grab it, the more it goes away.
Yeah, like
if you don't try to grab it, it kind of hangs out in the air for a little bit. But when you try to grab it,
it's elusive.
The other day I actually tried this with some of the mist out. I messed up the joke. With some of the fog out. I tried to catch fog.
Nicely done.
But
nicely
I missed. Done.
But you missed.
But I missed, yeah.
You missed.
Nicely
just
done.
Like the joke. Oh, well. We'll try again.
Yeah.
How's that quiz going?
How long do you sleep at night is my current question. So
okay.
There we go.
All right. So Adam and I will talk for a little bit. You keep
I'm in.
I'm joking. Creation, the first thing you said, Adam, was just kind of before we get to the winds that we chase, you said creation itself, this word picture was fun, is chasing its tail. Just mm-hmm. how cyclical life is. The sun rises and sets.
Right.
Things like that. So let's talk about that. How things come and go, and pretty soon, you know, you're forgotten. Like, mm-hmm. do you guys know your great great grandparents' names?
There's probably a great great grandpa Turner, and
first name. Yeah.
Then there would have been a great great grandpa Gibson as well.
So I know my great grandpa C.R. Moore on one side,
right,
and on the other side, my dad's mom. There's Les and Babe Stringer.
Okay.
Beyond that, I know my grandparents' names, but I don't know any other great grandparents' names, and I certainly don't know great great grandparents' names.
Yeah, I know great. We called him great father, but that was my great grandpa Watts, uh-huh. so it would be my mom's dad. But that's the only one. I mean, I know. I've heard stories of great grandpa Turner. And great grandpa Franklin, I think, is what it would have been.
Yeah.
So that's a great to you, or a double great?
It'd be my great.
Okay.
But double great, no clue.
Yeah. The only thing that I know about my great grandpa is how he died.
Okay.
Which was, he was run over by a horse.
Oh, wow.
Kind of unexpected.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. That's the only thing I know.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
So we don't know what they did really, what kind of people they were. We can make some assumptions, hopes, where they lived. We might not know. Mm-hmm. What about that is just straight up humbling? You know, what is it about that? They're just, you're like, man, I'm not really that important. What's humbling about that?
Well, it's just reality, you know?
Right.
And so, the odds of somebody remembering me in 2 to 3 generations are very low.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was reading something from Tim Keller. I almost put this in the sermon, but I didn't. I ended up taking it out. But, you know, in 100 years, nobody's going to remember who you were.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you give like $4 million to your alma mater.
Yeah.
You know, then they'll put a plaque up somewhere. But eventually some custodian's going to take that plaque down, or there's going to be a remodeling project.
It's the story that, the story you told, about they found
Dobson
tennis trophy. Yeah, yeah, the Dobson story. Yeah,
yeah. You know, and so maybe if that building, let's just say that building lasts 400 years after you, somebody will still see it, which is really stretching it,
right?
Especially now.
Especially now,
buildings don't last 400 years.
If you are a ruler, say, you know what, people are going to remember me because I'm going to rule the world. I'm going to be, you know. I'm going to be president of the United States. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, that they will. But here in another 250 years, so whenever you get to the 500-year anniversary of America, if America is still here, is America still a nation? Who knows? You go 1,000 years down the road, it'll be some sort of archaeologist is going to find something and be like, oh, yeah, I think.
We think they were a person.
Yeah.
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 So
AI archaeology.
Yeah. Yeah. AI. Yeah. Whenever AI is ruling everything.
Golly.
But that the point is, in 2 to 3 generations, no one's really going to remember you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you let that kind of start to shape. And actually, he even goes further than that to where he says, really, and this is the whole idea of the creation thing, is nobody's going to remember you. Rocks will be around longer than you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a humbling reminder of the brevity of our life in existence.
The brevity of our life, you know, what's humbling about it to me is just, you know, if it is really true, and it seems like it is, that in, you know, 2-3 generations, people really won't remember you. And so the way that I live today is just got to be, well, then it's not about me, right? Like,
right.
It just isn't about me. However, kind of the flip to that coin that I think is a positive thing. And I think this gets...
That's my next question.
It's ahead
just, what is encouraging about
right,
that?
So what's encouraging about it is I don't have to be remembered in 2 to 3 generations to have made an impact on those generations.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? So to think about if my goal isn't to do something incredible so that my great, 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 great grandchildren sit around a campfire and tell stories about me. My goal is to pass down a legacy of faith so that my great, 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 great grandkids are sitting around a campfire talking about the Lord's faithfulness.
Right.
Right. Like that's what you can do whenever you kind of live with the end in mind.
And whether they know your name or not, doesn't matter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's not what matters. What matters is not that they remember great, great, great Grandpa Luke is the one who, you know, set this all in motion for us.
Right.
It is that they have faith.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever you have a little less of the pressure to be the greatest or whatever, you can actually enjoy the life you have.
Yes.
So I find that incredibly encouraging.
Well, and I think, too, in the book by,
Gibson.
Gibson. Mm-hmm. You know, he even took the idea of let us eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah.
And was like, I don't know that that's necessarily
a bad thing.
A bad thing. I think that what Solomon's saying is that since life is short and that we know that it is, the brevity of it, rocks will outlast us, people aren't going to remember us, then a part of our purpose is to
enjoy it.
Enjoy the life that God has given us and to be able to have. An impact on those around us in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There was definitely a theme a couple times in that book where he said, yeah, enjoy life.
Yes.
And so we'll get to that here in a minute. But three wins that we often chase, Adam, you said things like education, mm-hmm. pleasure, and money. And of course, there are more.
Right.
But those three were what we focused on.
Yeah.
And so let's start talking about how education first can be like smoke or vapor. Like you can't hold on to it. Of course, education in and of itself is a good thing. Like I love
absolutely
reading, learning, listening to podcasts, all that sort of stuff. But what are some of the promises that education, what are some of the things education promises that it can't really fulfill?
Well, I think it promises fulfillment. And it can't deliver fulfillment.
But how, yeah, how so? So let's talk about our three stages of life. You've raised, I often think of parents when they're trying to raise kids, education is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. And so we often think their success is their grades. And sometimes, you know, we can maybe confuse that a little bit. So just three different perspectives here from education that you have raised kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the middle of it, and mm-hmm. Luke, you know, maybe someday.
Someday. Lord willing, yeah.
But you're with students all the time, and you're interacting with them and their parents. And so,
sure.
Adam, I'll start with you. Just as you were raising your kids, what did you see as maybe a danger in education? Like,
I think for the caution is just where this comes down to where you find your self-worth,
yep.
and your value. And the pressure that can be unintentionally applied in teaching our kids that you will be loved if you do well.
Yeah.
And that can create a really, really strong works mindset, achievement
yep.
mindset.
Yep.
In a negative sense, not like positive achievement, but like, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, this is the only way anybody's ever going to love me is if I'm successful. And I think that it's just that pressure that we can unintentionally put on our kids, or we can, even if we're not trying to do it, we can watch them putting it on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so just trying to remind them of, we are people who do our best and we uh-huh. give our best effort. And, the grade is the grade, but my expectation is that you're going to give your best effort. And, and that's what it is. But I think that the big thing is just finding identity in, you know, oh, I'm top of the class. Oh, I've got a 4.7 GPA, you know, or however they measure it these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You answered a question I was going to ask, follow up is just maybe some words of advice to those raising kids. How do you, you know, how would you speak to your kids when they're worried about grades or things like that? What do you say? And I think you answered it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not the grade.
Yeah. You're not the grade.
We're going to work hard.
We're going to work hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a lot of the language that I use before exams and CLC classes.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Always just before they actually take the test, they're kind of stressed out about it or whatever. And it's like, no, listen, like, you fail this, God still loves you. You ace this, God still loves you. You're not defined by this. And what I've started to say about just exams to the students, because as soon as they find out that they've got one, they're like, oh, man. It's like, well, let's stop looking at tests and exams as these things that we have to take for a grade. Let's actually just look at them as a celebration of what we've learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
let's just, you're going to get some answers right. And those are things that you've learned. So let's celebrate that. And if you're able to celebrate something, then that's good. But what I see with students all the time is just they get so nervous and stressed out about their academics.
Yeah.
I think that some of the pressure is put on them by parents, whether intentionally or unintentionally. I think some of the pressure that they feel could be from teachers and coaches and mentors and society and culture. In order for me to do what I want to do, I have to be really good at this.
Yeah.
And that usually creates two ends to the spectrum. One, a student who is really, really stressed out and is going to put all of their time, energy, and effort into their grades. They're going to be anxious about it.
Yep.
And they'll eventually end up doing well. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other student that kind of buckles under the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other step on that direction is almost like nihilism.
Correct.
To where
yeah.
it doesn't even matter.
Correct.
I can't do this.
Right.
I am a bad test taker.
Yes.
And so I'm not going to.
So the point that I'm trying to make with either of those two extremes is it's both identity.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I am defined by the success or I'm defined by the lack of success. And those are mm-hmm. really, really untrue things because the success is just another wind that we're chasing after.
Yeah.
Where really, I mean, the happy middle ground is education can be a good thing in life. It can be something you enjoy mm-hmm. because God gives us, I mean, my goodness, it's so fun to learn new things. One of my favorite dinner time questions to the kids is, hey, just tell me something really cool you learned today that I would want to know. And I love hearing about some animal in the ocean I've never even heard of. Or, you know, I love my kids just trying to surprise me with something. It's super fun. And they often do, you know, something I didn't know. And I'm trying to instill just joy in learning for learning's sake.
Yeah.
Not because it gets them a grade.
Right.
It's like, this is a great big world that God gave us. Super cool.
Yep.
So similarly, pleasure was the second wind, vapor, hevel, that was talked about. And, you know, similar thing, pleasure itself is a vapor if that is all there is.
Correct.
And this is kind of what was hinted at a while ago. You know, we want to be clear, God does want us to enjoy life. In fact, Luke, you've talked about this a couple times recently, just how looking to the end of your life, you want to be known by several things. One of them is you want to be known, and even if you're not known by it, you want to be a person who has enjoyed life. So tell us how you came to that conclusion and that just that phrase.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes from what Jesus says in that I want them to have life and life to the full. And I think that in order for that to be a prayer of Jesus that's accomplished, then we can't just go around not enjoying the life that we have, right? Like we actually are going to experience joy and fulfillment. And some of the thinking that came from that too is just through the word recreation, right? Like the word recreation is literally recreate. And so if there's not some sort of enjoyment pieces to my rhythms and the way that I organize my life, then I'm robbing myself of the opportunity to kind of be made new and recreated. And so what are the daily ways and weekly ways and monthly ways that I'm going to enjoy life and do the things that I like to do and be the people with that I like to be with. And so, that's kind of the thought process of why that was the sixth one added to the five.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. So Adam, obviously Luke is talking about like good things to pursue, but our culture makes the pursuit of inappropriate pleasure pretty easy. So
I might tweak that and say the excessive.
Excess, E-X-C-E-S-S.
Yes. Excessive pleasure.
Excessive pleasure. So talk to me about that. What are you getting at?
Well, I think that the what Solomon is trying to say is like I tried everything that seemed fun. I mean, whether it was women, whether it was wine, whether it was wealth.
Another W.
Yeah, that's coming up. But whether it was any of those three things, he's like, I tried it all. I didn't deny myself anything. And what I found, Solomon says, is that didn't give me meaning. Uh-huh. It didn't leave me feeling fulfilled. It is chasing the wind because the idea is that we have appetites. And the problem with appetites is they are never fully satisfied. Mm-hmm. That's why they're an appetite. I can eat breakfast like I did today so I could take my antibiotic and take my Mucinex. really the only reason I ate breakfast today. I didn't want to, but it was like I've got to, okay? But so I eat that. And then what's going to happen is around noon 30, 1 o'clock, 1:30, my stomach is going to, my body's going to start to say, hey, you're hungry again.
Yep.
Because that's what an appetite does. Mm-hmm. And pleasure is an appetite.
Yeah.
And so it is something that is never really satisfied. It's like, man, that was fun. Yeah, it was. That was great. I want more of that. And let's go after that again. And so it is why it's chasing after the wind. If we're trying to find our ultimate meaning and fulfillment in the things that just bring us joy, Solomon's just telling us, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You will always be left wanting more.
Yep.
And so what he's doing in this entire first couple of chapters is he's taking these little bubbles, which is the title,
Bursting the Bubble,
Bursting the Bubble, and he's taking just a razor sharp needle of wisdom, and he's running things almost to their natural conclusion, and he's just going pop, 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 mm-hmm. pop, pop. He's like, it's not going to work. You think this is going to bring you everything that you want. He's like, I'm telling you, it ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. So what are some guardrails, just maybe some words of wisdom we can keep in our mind to enjoy life, to, you know, live a life that we enjoy, that God wants us to, without excess, as you said?
Well, I think that jumps all the way to the end of the message. Okay. I mean, because all of this is leading to this point. In fact, the first 11 chapters of Ecclesiastes mm-hmm. is leading us all up to this point, to where if you truly want to find fulfillment, it's going to be in fearing God and keeping his commandments. And once you get that as your North Star of, I want my life to do, to bring ultimate glory and honor to God, I want to be obedient because, as Jesus said, those who love me obey my commands.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm going to really find a life that feels fulfilled, because then I'll be living out the purpose that God has created me.
I would just even throw in a couple of questions, just talking specifically about pleasure and enjoyment, and just to throw this word out, fun, like the things that we do in our lives. I would just ask a couple of questions about it. And one is, is the fun that I'm having God-honoring? If
Correct.
It's God-honoring, uh-huh. then it's probably okay, for sure. If it's not, yeah. then it may not be actually very helpful to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second question I would just ask is it God-focused? So is the mm-hmm. fun that I'm having distracting me from the mission that God is calling me to?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or is it helping me accomplish the mission that God is calling me to? And so those are some questions that I've kind of asked about some of the things that I do. Mm-hmm. The best example that I've got is the disc golf stuff, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. I enjoy playing disc golf.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, unless it just makes me super angry and I just cuss at trees all the time because I threw a disc into them, which may have happened at an earlier phase of my life, but maybe not now, not so much more. But like, is this something that I enjoy to do in a God-honoring way? Okay, yes. And is it distracting me from the mission? Well, no, because I'm also playing with a community of people, some who know Jesus and some who don't. And so there's opportunities for me to accomplish yeah. something for his kingdom in those ways too.
That's great. So Luke, I want you to look up Ecclesiastes 2, 24 and 25. It's not in the message, so look that up real quick. I was reminded by this morning of a quote from St. Augustine, who just said, all of sin is really disordered love, because we don't love God. Number one, we end up putting these other good things that he has given us in life, and we elevate those above God. And so it's just a good way to think about it, that sin is actually just disordered love.
Yeah.
So yep. Ecclesiastes 2, I don't think this was in the message, but it's in the same chapter. He reminds us, the preacher reminds us of the preacher of Ecclesiastes reminds us of this truth. So go ahead and read those two verses.
Yeah, he writes, so I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God, for who can eat or enjoy anything apart from him?
That's so huge, right? That's so yeah. key. Like, who can eat or enjoy anything apart from God? God gave us work. He gave us pleasure. So we need to do it in a way that honors him. I love what you said a while ago, God honoring and God focused. So money is the last kind of grasp at a vapor. And once again, there's a theme here. Money itself is not the problem. But it's when we make money itself the pursuit that is the problem. So once again, Adam, let's get a little just cultural here. Where do you see people and how just pursuing money, and what are some of the worries and the risks that you see most of all in lives of people as you're trying to pastor them?
It's chasing the wind. And yes, we want to be people who provide well. Even leave inheritances and all those other kind of things. I mean, all that's biblical. It's, once again, it's what is the pursuit is really what it comes down to. And so I know it's like hyper philosophical, you know, looking at these things, but I think we joked, you know, Solomon kind of sounds like a French philosopher, you know,
yep.
as he's writing
yeah.
through Ecclesiastes. And yep. so it is a little more philosophically based. But it's just reminding ourselves that more is just more. It's not meaning. Just because
yeah, I love that line in there.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's just more. And so whenever you make the pursuit of more your end, you are, once again, you're chasing the wind. And what's crazy about all these, and I joked about this in the sermon, but, you know, if you went outside and the guy across the street is just running back and forth, and you go, bro, what's up? And he's like, I'm chasing the wind. You would probably very slowly walk back into your house and lock the door because it's like, this dude has lost his mind. You know, he's chasing after something that he's never going to catch. And whenever it comes for, whenever it comes down to these things of pleasure, money, you know, all these kind of things, there is never enough. And if you ask anybody how much money is enough, they're always going to tell you a little bit more. If you ask anybody how much fun is enough, just a little bit more. That's all I'm looking for.
Right.
How much education is enough? How much learning is enough? And it's like, well, I'd love to learn just a little bit more. How much organization? How much this? How much that? How much this? And it's always just a little bit more. And so that's why it is we're running after the wind and we're trying to grab something that we're never going to be able to grab. We will never find complete satisfaction whenever those are our end goals. And so that's where Solomon is just trying to shake us free here and just go, no, look, there's something much bigger. There's something much bigger. He's like, I tried it all. I'm telling you from experience. I'm telling you from wisdom. I've tried it all. All these things are going to leave you feeling like you're lacking something.
Well, Luke, you got another reading here. Proverbs 38 and 9. You have that pulled up?
Proverbs 38 and 9. This one also I need to look up, right?
Yeah. Proverbs 38 and 9. This verse popped into my head this morning, just talking about money, about wealth, and how there's really, like all of these, there's a balance. There's a middle ground to find. Money itself is not the issue. It's the pursuit of it. So what does Proverbs 38 and 9 say?
Yeah, it says, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much to disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God.
Yeah, so I love that. Just right there in the middle, if money is the point, if we've made it the point, then we're going to try to get too much, and then we just lie and cheat and dishonor God, or the converse will happen, you know?
Yeah.
Inverse, converse, the opposite, whatever.
Inverse, yeah.
We'll just say, I am the Lord, you know?
Yeah, and
look
we'll
at all that I've got.
Stealing because we don't have enough or whatever, so I think there's some wisdom in, I mean, Jesus taught us to pray like that, right? Give us today our daily bread. So anything else about money? What do you, any other comments about money you want to say?
I think we got it, man.
Okay.
Cash.
Cool. Adam, you landed the plane pretty quickly yesterday just with some pastoral wisdom about a hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
You've been to a lot of them in 20 years or so here and challenged people to be reflective at the end of their life. And I love the two questions. Am I right with God? Am I right with family? Those are great questions. So let's give a quick pastoral word to our listeners. What kinds of things can we do right now? What specific questions can we ask of family or of God? You mentioned a few in the sermon.
Yeah.
But let's hit those again.
I think that where I would go and just remind everybody is if we know that's where the end is going to be, okay, most of us, that's where we're going to end up.
Whether it's in the hospital or your house.
Whether it's in your, most of us will end up dying in a hospital bed. And so if we know that that day is coming, and if we know those are the two questions that we're going to be asking on that, in that time, okay, whether you're in that bed for 3 days, 3 months, you know, a year, sometimes people are there for a really long time. But if we know those are the two questions that we're really going to be asking, then why wouldn't we orient ourselves right now to make sure that in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years.
In my case, 69 years, 76 days, 8 hours, 5 minutes, and now 47 seconds.
So what does it say?
Oh, you've got to the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is it saying you're going to get to?
April 1st, 2093.
29. How old would that make you?
69 plus 27, so 70 plus 30, just shy of 100.
Just shy of
96 or so.
Yeah, because you were born in
96.
96, so it's 93, so 97. Yeah.
You don't think you could hold on for 7 more years and get to see it?
That's what I was
2100?
Thinking. 2100.
But anyway, if we know that those are the questions that we're going to ask, in 60 years. Then why wouldn't we start living in a way now to make sure that whenever you're on your deathbed and you're going to, am I right with my family? Mm-hmm. That you're able to go, man, I am. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. You know, am I right with God? Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Christ has done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I can't wait to meet him mm-hmm. here really soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's really looking at those things. And then I can't answer the question for how you do that. You know, I can point you off in a direction and say, well, if you're wanting to make sure you're right with your family, then you should probably make sure you're right with your family now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that over the next 50 years that you keep in mind those relationships as you get into a place of family squabbling over parents leaving money to kids or, you know, as your adult children begin to pick spouses and, you know, they start raising their own children. It's like, man, if I want to know at the end of the day, whenever I'm on my deathbed, that I'm still good with my family, it might mean I need to keep my mouth shut about some things. Mm-hmm. It may mean I need to speak up about some things, you know, and that's where I need the heart of wisdom to be able to do that.
Yeah.
It means as you're disciplining your children now, as they're, you know, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 years old, it's like, I want to discipline with the goal in mind of, I don't want to be so overly harsh with them that whenever everything's all said and done, they don't want to come see me. That I'm just there by myself. Yeah. I don't want to be so lenient with them that they run off the rails mm-hmm. and they're not there at the end. And so it's just thinking about
it. It's a hard balance. Well, we've got to pray all the time for wisdom.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's Solomon's goal is for us to just to think deeply about these things. And so once again, if you know that's where we're going, this is the whole idea of living backward. We know that's where we're going to end up. Mm-hmm. What can I do now? In the, you know, some people, they might be like, man, I only have 10, 15 years left.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah.
Hey, that's 10 to 15 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
We don't know. I remember my grandpa always telling my mom whenever, I think about the time he turned 65, he lived to be 83, I think, if I remember right. But he would tell her, he's like, Beverly, 65-year-old men drop dead every day. And just a reminder to her uh-huh. and to himself that, uh-huh. hey,
yeah.
we're not guaranteed tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. And I've heard some people say it before like this, I'm living on borrowed time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like, hey.
Well, really, like this whole conversation helps us daily to live out one of the practical and incredible realities of the gospel, which is that in the work of Jesus, death has been overcome.
Exactly.
And so whenever we get to these two questions and begin to begin to think about them now with the end in mind, it actually helps us, you know, actually helps us to overcome the fear.
Yes.
That is involved with death as well. And so I love the whole conversation is just about the proper perspective on death is really the key to a good and true life.
Yeah.
You know, the reminders, 65 drop dead, you know, every day. Love that. I know a guy over at CIY who mm-hmm. built his own coffin mm-hmm. by hand mm-hmm. yep. and it put it in his office because every day when he walks into his office, he wants to be reminded, I'm not promised tomorrow. And so I want to make today matter.
Yeah,
and I'm sure his wife loved that he built his own coffin and put it in his office.
Saves a lot of money.
Stuff. Well, yeah, but it's just so cool to think about. Yeah. I'm not going to fear this.
Correct.
But what I am going to do is understand that it is coming and that it really is just my entrance into the full revelation of God's presence. And so what do I need to do now mm-hmm. to make sure that I'm right with God and with my family? It's so good.
I thought of... just the question of, is this urgent or is it important?
Mm-hmm.
And often we are overwhelmed with things that are urgent. And, you know, there's always going to be a load of laundry to fold. There will always be something else to vacuum up or sweep up. Or there's always going to be something like that that's vying for your attention. And sometimes you need to do those things. But I think part of what Solomon is getting us to ask is this just urgent or is it important? And let's focus on the important first.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Bottom line was a proper perspective on death is the key to true life.
Yep.
challenge what needs to be made right today. So those questions of how am I getting right with my family? How am I getting right with God?
Mm-hmm.
So keep asking those questions. Ask yourself, are you doing things that are just urgent, or are you doing the important things with your family, with God? I love, Adam, you said, maybe with your family, there needs to be an apology for chasing the wind. Like maybe that's even language you can use, is you go to a family member and say, you know what? I have chased things that are like vapor and they're going away, and I need to prioritize you and the Lord instead. And I, you know, so that would go a long way. Anything else to add? Okay.
I just hope everybody needs, I feel like, without a proper understanding of what Solomon is really trying to say, we can all walk out feeling like depressed French philosophers.
Yes. Yep. Well, yeah, because that word meaningless is our best English try.
Yeah.
It's not really meaningless. It is the concept of it's a vapor that you cannot grasp.
Yeah.
You can't hold it.
Well, in fact, this did not make it into the sermon, but so Hebel, do you know the first place it shows up in the Bible?
No. Remind
me. Genesis. It's a proper name. Abel.
Ah,
really?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. You know, which is just here and then gone.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Do you know why Cain killed his brother?
Oh, no.
Because he was able?
Because he was able.
Because he was able.
All right. Sorry. Really cheesy. That's interesting, though. Really able. Crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. So meaningless. He's not saying life itself is meaningless. In fact, we've hinted a couple times, he says, actually enjoy life because God gives it to us.
Right.
And I think a big reminder also is just if we're looking for that phrase under the sun, if we're looking for meaning under the sun, we're always going to be disappointed. It's what's above
but
the
if
sun.
We look
it just can't be grasped.
The creator of the sun.
Yeah.
We can't just can't grasp it.
Yeah. That's
what it is. You just can't grab hold of it.
Yeah.
And so everything is that you're pursuing, you just can't grab hold of it and just go, oh, okay, now I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the conclusion of the matter is this. Fear God, keep his commands.
Yep. There's only one universe, and you are not God.
Yep.
And that's why he has a universe and you don't. And so there is tremendous freedom in loosening your grip on trying to hold the universe and letting him do it instead. So let's play a little game here. The name of the series is Living Life Backward. So we're going to have a couple challenges for you to tell me things that I will say backward.
Backward?
So you're going to say the whole word backward?
I'm going to do two rounds. The first round is a word backward. I'm going to spell the word backward, and you have to tell me that word.
Okay.
Second round will increase in difficulty because I'll tell you a sentence.
Wow.
And then you
goodness.
Have to say it forwards. At home or in the car, you can play along as well.
I concede.
Hey, I think you can get this. All right, Luke, we'll start with you. We'll give Adam the advantage to hearing the first one, I guess. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm going to spell the word backwards. You tell me what word it is. Ready? Y-T-I-N-A-V.
Vanity.
There. Good job. One for one. See?
Nice
too bad.
Dresser for your room.
That's not what I was going for, but
I thought the way
these
that
are
I
all these are all from Ecclesiastes, by the way. So words or sentences from Ecclesiastes.
Well, so the way I understood this game was that you were going to give us a word and that we were going to have to do the work of saying it backwards. So I was
I
already
am doing
prepared.
It backwards.
It would be like draw cab backward.
Okay, Adam, here's your word: N O S A E S.
So season.
Season. There we go. All right. A little longer. Here you go, Luke. Y-T-I-R-E-P-S-O-R-P.
S-O-R-P. S-O-R-P. Prosperity?
There you go. Prosperity. All right.
Golly, that is way harder than it needs to be.
All right. Adam, one more for you. S-U-O-I-G. I-L-E-R-R-I.
Did you spell religious?
Irreligious.
Irreligious.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple. We'll do a couple sentences here, and they'll be done for the day, and wish everybody a happy day. So here's your sentence, Luke. You got to say this sentence forwards after I say it backwards.
Okay.
All right. season A is there everything for?
For there is everything in a season.
Close. For everything there is a season.
For everything there is a season.
All right, Adam. Broken easily not is strands three of chord A.
A strand of three chords is not easily broken.
Close. Yeah, a chord of three strands. Chord of three strands. Just those three. Yeah, okay. All right. Luke, this is for you. Shut mouth your and open ears your keep. God of house, the enter you as.
As you enter the house of God, keep your mouth and your ears shut.
Close. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Was that close or was it right?
Yeah. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut.
Okay.
Okay. Adam, here's to you. Pride than better is patience. Starting than better is finishing.
Finishing is better than starting, and patience is better than pride.
It's hard, yeah. It's hard to do. All right.
Was that what it was?
It is. Very good.
Look at you go. Nice job.
All right, we got two more if you want it, or you can say, no, I'm done with this
I'm
game.
I'm done.
And
I'm out.
We'll just wrap up there for the week.
Game
set, done match.
This with.
Done this game
there
is.
There you go, yes. Say it backward if you really want. All right, so Luke, are you going to Sunday get on stage backwards?
I'm not.
Stand backward.
I thought about it. I was telling Jeremy and Adam we need to do our entire service in backward order through this series. So we start with this with the invitation and then go to the sermon and then we end with the welcome. Welcome to Corinth Christian Church, and then that's everybody's cue to walk backward out the door.
Walk backward out the door. Well, hey, it's been a fun first discussion. Next week we are in part two. Of this same series. We'll be here for 4 weeks, so it's going to be a good discussion in the book of Ecclesiastes, living life backward, learning a heart of wisdom, teaching us to number our days. That's Psalm 90, but same sort of concept there. But glad you're with us in your car, in your kitchen, wherever you are, and we look forward to seeing you next week, Super Bowl Sunday, and then back in the car or on the walk or on the hike, wherever it is, you get your podcast on Monday. Until then, have a great week. We love you lots.
Good. She's got the sinus.